What's good, everybody? We back with another episode. We just be talking. It's your host, Gold. All right, guys. So, you know, it's been a couple of weeks. My apologies. So, I guess I could just start off just getting our updates out the way. So, update number one. As you guys know, it's been about 9 weeks of episodes, really. Like the last 9 episodes, it's been more, it's been sports. We've been doing the sports podcast, which again, working on it still. It will be its own entity at some point. I just haven't had the time to really separate everything. It takes a lot. It's more going to the process than a lot of people realize. Like, it takes a little time for me to migrate different episodes from the feed onto a new feed and everything like that. Takes a little time, and I've just been extremely busy, so that's on me. So my apologies for slacking behind on getting that done. It will be done sooner rather than later, I promise. On top of that, we've been doing the podcast, the sports podcast. We cover NFL. We do some NBA and everything like that. We haven't really gotten to the NBA yet because of the fact that football is kind of the main focal right now, because that's like the big sport going on right now. And plus, basketball don't really pop out for real until post All-Star break anyway. So it's just a performance here to talk about, hot take here, hot take there. And there's really no need to really discuss basketball to an extreme degree right now. Because to me, the NBA season doesn't really start off, and a lot of basketball fans know. In a lot of people's opinion, when you watch basketball, you're a fan of the sport. Excuse me. The season doesn't pop off until, Christmas Day games. Like, the Christmas Day games is the official start of the NBA season. Like, the official start, I should say, something like that. Because we all know that the season starts usually, October, November. It's when the season starts. The season, for the fans, when the games start, getting more intense, that's when it's around December-ish. Because, to be honest, it usually see, some cool performances, early on. And then they usually, even out. And then you start seeing, the normal things start occurring. The Randall Curry games. You might get a KD game. A LeBron game, which he's kind of old now. So, he's getting up there. You can see the age on him. You see a young player kind of having a breakout season. This year it's Franz Wagner. He's the one having he's the young player that's kind of having the big season. No, he's been solid for years, but he's kind of having a big season. But anyway, that's normally how it goes. And then December is when they used to put the marquee matchups up. Last year, December's matchup was kind of lacking. Hopefully this year's is better. Christmas Day matchups were kind of lacking. So hopefully this year's is better. But we'll see. But anyway, I say all that to say, football is the main focus right now. Then NBA, we will transition to NBA around February-ish after the Super Bowl. But for the time being, with the sports episodes, this is not a sport episode, by the way. This is a solo gold episode. We're going back to the roots, I guess you could say. The previous new norm that we had established was just me yapping for X amount of time. So with that being said, for the time being, also with the sports podcast, the sports episodes, Casino won't be on the future episodes for the time being. Not permanently. He'll be back, but just for the time being, based on scheduling and everything like that. I had a talk with him, and I just told him, I appreciate you trying to sacrifice to, make time for it, but I was like, it's not, life comes first, and that's priority and everything like that, so, all that's more focused, so put the energy towards that right now, and we'll come back to this whenever things, get back to normal right now, because his schedule just kind of busy right now. He has a lot that he's balancing right now and doing. So, I was like, yeah, just good. Just take a break, bro. Don't feel bad. Don't think this and that. Nothing going. You good. We're good. Nothing's wrong. I was like, just take a break for right now. I said, it's cool. I said, this will be here. We just be talking to be here whenever your schedule get back normal. Like, it's going to be fine. So, for the time being, Casino won't be on the podcast. Well, I'll still be doing NFL updates. I will. I actually will be dropping one. What today is? Today's the 4th as me recording this. Yes, I'm recording this on the 4th. So, I'm up at the wee hours of the morning recording this. Yeah, okay. So, today's Wednesday. So, tomorrow should be a light day for me. So, I probably... Well, actually, yeah, I'll drop one tomorrow, too. Yeah, I'll be able to drop one tomorrow. So, I'll be able to do NFL updates. We've missed, like, 3 weeks at this point. I want to say we missed about 3 weeks. Maybe four, maybe a month, actually. We might have missed about a month, almost, by the time I post out the next episode. But we'll see. But, yeah, the NFL, so I will still continue, though. It'll just be me solo for right now. And as far as, like, the normal, we just be talking, which is what this episode is going to be more like. You know, still waiting on Jock, because Jock's, his schedule is also really busy. Like, he has a busy schedule as well. Like, you know, we're all adults. You know, life happens. Like, we get busy with stuff. Like, y'all know how long the podcast has gone on breaks so many times. So, like, it's nothing y'all not used to. Y'all know how this go. But, yeah, so, you know, Jock's schedule is still kind of hectic right now. So, waiting for him to, you know, get to a good point, too. Cause like I let everyone know that I asked to like join the podcast. Like, yeah, I said it's no rush at all. I like, don't think it's a rush. No, nothing at all. Like, whenever you're ready to come on the podcast, you good to come on there. Like, it's perfectly okay. Like, you know, that's how I look at things. Like, you know, I appreciate y'all. You know, wanting to work with me and like, you know, join me in what I like consider. You know, it's not the hugest grand of things, but like this, the podcast is my baby. Like, I really do put a lot of time and effort into it, and like, try to keep things afloat with it and everything. So I just appreciate like them wanting to assist me in it, because it does become a lot. It does. It becomes a lot trying to keep this consistent as well as other ventures that I'm partaking in right now in life. And things I have my hand in right now and goals that I'm working towards like personally. So it's just a lot to balance. So like just having them just here just to help, like it means so much. So like I told them, I tell everyone that's going to be involved in the podcast, like, hey, you're like, we good. Like, whenever you want to hop on, just let me know and I'll accommodate your schedule. Like, it's all good. Like, we'll make it work. So Jock will still be joining the podcast at some point. Casino is on a brief hiatus from it. He'll be back probably January. He'll be back. Well, not probably. He'll be back in January, either beginning of the month or middle. Probably middle. Ease him back into it, so we'll start back talking about the sports and everything. That'll be like peak playoff time too. So it'll be a good time for him to come back too. So, and I wish he could join, because you know I'm going to talk about a certain thing that happened with his team on the next sports episode. So, but that's neither here nor there. So, with that being said, like I said, this episode is more of an OG we just be talking episode. So, what we're going to discuss this one is a topic that I've been wanting to talk about for a while now. I have been. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of water. But yeah, I've been wanting to talk about this for a while because so much stuff been happening in regards to this. But it's like whenever I was to sit down and be like, okay, today's the day. I'm going to talk about it. Something new to add to the story. No, it's not about the Diddy parties. We're not talking about that. That'll be a later date. We'll talk about that. That diabolical human being. But this one is about, you know, our boy Kendrick Lamar, Kung Fu Kenny, K-Dot, man of many names. This episode is about him because so much stuff has happened. Like the beef. So we all know about the beef with him and Drake. That if you're a fan of hip hop, you know that Drake and Kendrick beef, it's been a silent cold war for like years at this point. It's been forever since this was supposed to been pop out. It's supposed to been have gotten addressed, but you know, it was a bunch of years of like just, you know, I'ma sneak this shit here, I'ma mention you here, slight jab there, but then Cat Williams did that interview at the beginning of the year, and that just started, like, that opened up the portal of hatred, and it just, everything just came out, and everybody's just been beefing left and right, and it's just been a whole bunch of just violence and chaos and all kind of things going on. So we all know that in 2023, that's when, yeah, Florida Dogs dropped last year. Yeah, so we all know in 2023, Drake dropped Florida Dogs, an album that was met with, mixed feelings towards it from the fans and critics alike. It was very mixed. I don't give a damn what critics say, really, because critics are just, they're just biased at this point. I don't really care what critics say, especially, I'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, like, it was mixed from the fans. But my thing with Drake albums, though, cause like I tell everyone, like, I don't hate Drake. I'm a fan of Drake. Like, I listen to Drake music. Like, I still listen to Drake. Like, I'm not a person that's like, oh, I'm a Kendrick fan, so I'll never listen to Drake again. Like, I'm not that person. Like, music is music. Like, I don't, like, if they beefing, then cool. But, like, I'm going to just listen to the music. Like, if you got a good song or I like your music, I'm going to listen to it. It doesn't matter. It's not that deep to me. It's really not that serious. Like, I don't know these people for real. It's just fun to debate about. But if you take it that seriously, then, yeah, you need to go find God. But, yeah, so he dropped $400 last year to mixed reception and everything like that. And he had a song called First Person Shooter with J. Cole. Of course, they had a lot of mentions like being big in the Super Bowl, the Big Three. And then Drake kind of didn't mention, J. Cole mentioned Kendrick when he said the Big Three. And like the gold out of all of them, like, is it K. Dye, is it Aubrey, me, like all that kind of stuff. But Drake kind of kept it to just him and Cole. He didn't really mention Kendrick at all. He didn't acknowledge him and all that. So it was a little jab to it like that you can kind of pick up on. And then Metro Boomin and Future dropped the collab album, We Don't Trust You. And the opening track had disses towards Drake in it. And there was a lot of disses towards Drake throughout the project. Then they followed up, of course, with We Still Don't Trust You. I want to say it's the name of it. And on that project, it was Drake disses spread throughout, like, The Weeknd, A$AP Rocky. It was a ton of disses spread throughout that whole little project, which was crazy. But back to We Don't Trust You. He had a couple of disses towards Drake, and then he came out with Like That was on that album, and you know how they do nowadays with the album. They don't show the features. They just have the song titles because it's like, okay, we're going to let you listen to the album. And then the features are like surprises, like surprise guests on the album. Like, you know, you don't know who's on what song. Because usually it leaks about who's included on the album, but you don't know who's on what song. And then you kind of just listen to the song and then you hear like an artist that you might be a fan of just, you know, start saying a verse or a chorus. And you be like, oh, they on this song. And then, you know, that kind of had like a little wow factor to it to force people to listen to the songs, I guess. You know, it doesn't work because people in 5 minutes are going to tell you like who on what song nowadays. Like, it doesn't matter. So, I don't like that. Kendrick came on the second verse, which was shocking because Kendrick was very quiet for a while. And he made mentions of, fuck the Big Three. It's just Big Me. He dissed Drake saying, like a lot of disses towards Drake. He ain't really diss Cole too much. For Cole, it's more like we can go bar for bar, but I'll win kind of thing. But Drake, it was kind of like, I really don't like you. Like, shut the hell up. I really don't like you. So that started off this snowball effect of like just everything just like accumulated, then it just avalanched and everything just like came pouring down at that point. So Like That came out, and then after that, people waited for Drake to respond. Drake responded to a song that leaked originally called Push Ups, and then he came out with the official version of it where the beat was fixed on it. So he came up with Push Ups, and then when Push Ups came out, everybody was like, well, Kendrick, you got to respond to that, because in Push Ups, he was just talking about the man height and all that. And then, you know, Push Ups came out, and then Kendrick was like, Kendrick got to respond, and then Drake dropped, I want to say he dropped the Bury Alive interlude. I forgot the timeline all the way in my head. Y'all know it's on the previous episode about it. But he dropped the Bury Alive interlude, which Kendrick did originally on his Take Care album. That was their one of their only collaborations. They only have about three altogether before things went south with them. Because it's Bury Alive, Poetic Justice, and then Fucking Problems. I think that's the only collabs they have. After that, they kind of the relationship went sour after that. Yeah, so we had those two. We had those albums. Then we had what am I trying to say? We had Buried Alive Interview. Redo. Get the other gold. Buried Alive Interlude that Drake made. Then we had Taylor Made Freestyle, which had the AI Tupac and the Snoop Dogg, and the Snoop Dogg reposted. All that went on. And then Kendrick dropped Euphoria. He dropped Euphoria. And then after Euphoria, he dropped 616 in LA, copying Drake's timestamp series. And then after that, Drake dropped Family Matters, which contained three verses on three different beat switches. It was a nice song. I like Family Matters. It's actually a really good song. And then came out with Meet the Grams. Kendrick came out with Meet the Grams, with contain a bunch of, like, basically was written letters to Drake's mom, his dad, his son, his apparent alleged daughter that he had somewhere that we still don't have proof of that exists, and then to Drake himself. And then the next day, Kendrick dropped Not Like Us, which of course is the biggest song of the year. No matter how you feel about it, it's the biggest song of the year. So he dropped Not Like Us as like a victory lap. And then Drake responded with The Heart Part 6, which was horrible. That was the worst song out the whole beef. I'm sorry. Like, The Hard Part 6 was, like, it was bad. It wasn't a good song. I guess it wasn't a good song. And it was kind of disappointing that it ended on that note, because it kind of came, the Hard Part 6 came off as, like, a white flag kind of thing and all that. So then after that, Kendrick did the Pop Out with Ken and Friends event on Juneteenth. And then the Not Like Us video followed on July 4th, which, again, is calculated. It's just funny how all this, like, how he did all this. And then after that, that's when Drake, they kept saying about a round two and all that, and Kendrick kind of went quiet, because Kendrick just dropped and didn't say anything else. He was just dropping and disappearing again. And then he did all that. It was like a round two. And then Drake did the 100 gigs drop, where he put, like, different videos of, like, him recording old hits like Hotline Bling, behind the scenes, him recording certain songs, and he added, like, I think three songs on there that was, like, featured Atlanta artists, which was funny because Kendrick mentioned Not Like Us, like, you run to Atlanta when you need a top dollar, because Drake had just been on, I think it was Camilla, I forgot the young lady's name. She made that, what's the song, Havana, what was it? It was a song with Travis Scott. I can't remember. It was in department stores like crazy. But I think that was who he was featured on. Don't quote me on that. But he was on a couple songs on her album, but they didn't gain traction like they normally. Normally a Drake song with a pop artist gained traction, but it really didn't that time. So it was kind of like whatever. And then after that, that kind of came and went. And then Kendrick announced he was performing at the Super Bowl. He got the Super Bowl halftime show, and was led to backlash because it's in New Orleans, and everyone had this narrative in their head that they wanted Lil Wayne to perform at the Super Bowl, and he deserved it and everything like that. And I'm going to speak my piece on that real quick. I'm going to say my thoughts and feelings on that real fast before I continue. So basically, of course, you guys know I was born and raised in Louisiana. You know, I still live here, you know, Baton Rouge. Still here and everything like that. So, you know, as a Southern Louisianian especially, you know, Wayne was big. Wayne was a big dude for us. Like, Wayne big. Like, of course, New Orleans, Wayne is big there. Of course, because that's his hometown. But Baton Rouge, we love him too. And the world loves Wayne. Like, Wayne became very much so, like, very popular. Well, I ain't going to say the word. I'll say, like, the United States. I don't know if I can say the world. I don't really like to say the world, because whenever I say the world, I really mean the states, you know? So I don't like saying the world all the time, but, you know. And everybody now like a global icon for like that, but I think Wayne is, but I might be biased. But, you know, Wayne's very big. You know, he's one of the GOATs. I have him top 10 all time as far as rappers go. I want to say top 5, but I have him top 10 for sure. I have to really sit down and make a list, which I might do in a future episode. I'll probably say that for when Jock gets on the podcast. We do like a top 10 rappers all time, like our top 10 list. That'll be a cool discussion to have. So, yeah, so Wayne, you know, Wayne's very big. You know, Wayne had an incredible run from, like, I want to say really, like, what, 07, 08 to like 13, 14. He had, like, an incredible run he was on. So we had that. Then I want to say, you know, just Wayne just accomplished a lot. You know, he's one of the biggest artists ever. You know, solo million a week with the Carter Three. You know, he stamped. So with all that being said, like, I get where people are coming from with the, you know, it's in New Orleans, so it'll be cool to have, like, Lil Wayne perform at Super Bowl in New Orleans because, you know, that's his hometown. It just makes sense. However, if just from me, it's like me being more business minded, I would just say that I would think that for better business and better, like, appeal, would be Kendrick as a performer. And people might say, like, but Kendrick got no bangers like that for real. Like, Wayne got like this, and like hits like this, like a million, and he got this. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not even about the songs you have. It's like hits. It's like the Super Bowl halftime show is what it says. It's a show. Like, they want you to put on a spectacle, like a, you know, like the transitions and all that kind of stuff. That's what it's become over the years. Like, this is what it is now. Like, we got to take it for what it is. Like, nowadays, it's like a huge spectacle where they do all kind of stuff and everything. So, it's just for the Super Bowl, how they have set, how, since Jay-Z has taken over, how they've set Super Bowl performances to be over the years. I just don't think Wayne fits what they would want from that because of the type of performer he is. Like, I don't know if they would want that for a Super Bowl. That's the only thing. Like, I know Kendrick was with Dr. Dre. They did the L.A. one that was kind of like a tribute to L.A. kind of thing. They did that one. And I know Kendrick Lamar was involved in that one. And his part of the performance was actually pretty dope because he performed all right, I believe. Yeah, he performed all right. So that was pretty dope. So it's like, Kendrick could put on the show. He could put on the show. Like, that's nothing to do. But it's just like, for the Super Bowl, I just feel like Kendrick fits more for what they would want in a Super Bowl performance than Wayne does. And that's not a knock against Wayne saying, like, he sucks or he's trash. I do not think they have Wayne at all. It's just that for what the Super Bowl performances have become over the years and what they look for and stuff, I just think that Wayne wouldn't really want to do all that. I just don't see Wayne want to do all that. I feel like Wayne is a type of performer more. He want to come on stage. He want to rap. He want to, you know, walk around the stage, vibe with the crowd, whoever guests he got, and then that's it. And also, Wayne, you never know with Wayne either, because over the years, Wayne has been kind of, like, very inconsistent when it comes to, like, something fun. Like, he'll go somewhere, he ain't feeling it, he's like, I'm good, I'm going. Like, you know, or rehearsal, he'll skip a rehearsal. Like, he's that kind of, he's set up that kind of track record over the years, too. So, that's also a knock against him as well, because, like, what if he would have just say, like, I don't feel like doing this today, and just don't practice for the Super Bowl, and, like, it's a botched performance and all that. You know, it's just so many things going into, like, the track record of, like, how things have gone over the recent years and everything. So that's a thing as well. So it's just a lot of facts going. And also, no, it's not like just because it's in your hometown, you're entitled to it. You know, like, that's another problem. Like, that's another thing. I ain't gonna say a problem I have, but that's another thing that I feel like people are kind of blown out of proportion, because, like, people have this thing now in the current state of just the states and everything like that. I'm not gonna say the world, but the states, because can't speak for every country. I'm gonna speak for what I experienced in the United States. So people have, like, Americans have this thing now to where, like, if something is said on social media, well, I ain't gonna say just people. I can't even speak just. I'm gonna take that back. I'm gonna say just people. They have a thing to where, like, if a narrative is pushed out there, that's what they go with. Like, once a narrative is created, it becomes canon in their heads. So head canon is the term. So once the head canon is created, that's what they think is fact, and they be like, okay, this gotta happen because this is what I think should happen, and this is what I believe should happen. So it gotta happen. That's how a lot of people's minds is wired nowadays, to think that way. So it's like, it was mentioned, like, oh, it'll be dope to have Lil Wayne at the Super Bowl in New Orleans. People started posting those think pieces and everything like that. And then podcasts started asking, like, so Wayne, you know, Super Bowl New Orleans, you know, it'll be a, you know, what you think about it? What you want to do it, and, you know, all that. He was like, yeah, I want to do it. Like, that'll be good. That'll be dope. All that kind of stuff. So once things started being said like that, that kind of started pushing the narrative forward. Like, oh, Wayne got to do it. It's in New Orleans. Wayne got to do it. But just because it's in your hometown don't necessarily mean that you automatically get it. You know, like, that's not how that works. And not saying Wayne hasn't earned the right to perform a Super Bowl. I just feel like if they wanted to have Wayne perform at a Super Bowl, and this is before Jay-Z took over as like the little creative director for the Super Bowl stuff and all that. So, or whatever he actual title is, I'm not sure what the actual title is. Before that occurred, I feel like it should have happened sooner than now, than later on now, because it's like, it's just the current Wayne we got now, like, there's a thing about him not remembering the lyrics and all that, and having a teleprompter and all that, and it's like, it's a little harder to have a teleprompter up during that Super Bowl, because that's a lot of work they have to try to do to get Super Bowl, because you know how they want the transitions and everything. So just having that set up would be kind of difficult to do. It'll just be a lot. It'll be a lot going on. It's just like the current performer Wayne is, I just don't think that he's, like, the Super Bowl don't fit him. I just don't think it fits what he got going on right now as far as, like, where he's at right now. It's like, oh, I just don't think it fit him. But that's just my take on it. Like I said, do I feel like Wayne deserves to perform Super Bowl? Yes. Do I feel like Kendrick deserves to do it? Yes. Do I feel like the better choice was Kendrick? Yes, because I feel like Kendrick, at this current state of time, is a better performer than Wayne is right now, as far as, like, the how things go and everything. Even the pop out with friends, like, his performance there, he had, like, him and Dave had some nice effects going on with that, like, when they had did that whole setup and everything. Like, even that, and that was just, like, a regular concert. Even that was nice with how they set that up. So I just feel like at this point in time, I think that just Kendrick will just be the better pick for that. But again, I'm not gonna keep going on that. I'm not gonna ramble on too long about that. That's just my personal opinion on it. Like, you know, respect to everyone. Like, Kendrick a dope artist. Wayne one of the greatest of all time. Like, they're both heavyweights in their field. At this point, I think Kendrick deserves the right to be first as a heavyweight in their fields. You know, that's one of the legends at this point. So, what all the people say about, oh, Wayne music is outdated and it didn't age and it's never, regardless of that, Wayne did what he did, and you can't take that away from him. You can't take that away from him at all. Like, Wayne is forever in my top 10. Like, that's one of the names that won't ever get out of there. It's a couple names in my top 10 that won't get removed, and Wayne is one of them. He's in there forever. So that's my piece on the whole Super Bowl thing. Again, I hope that Kendrick puts on a nice show. I hope it's very much so, like, you know, dope. I feel like he's going to have some digs towards a couple of things, but that's just my personal opinion based on what I'm about to get to now, which is, surprise, an album. He dropped an album. Surprise dropped it. At this point, it's been 2 weeks now. About to be 2 weeks, because he dropped it, before Thanksgiving. So, like, I think November 22nd is when he dropped it. Let me double check. November. Yeah, no, November 22nd is when he dropped it. So, yeah, he dropped the album called GNX, named after the vehicle that I think was Buick produced in 1987, which was the year Kendrick was born. So, you know, it's a lot of, you know how Kendrick is. Everything with Kendrick is like, oh, it's deeper than this. Y'all not looking into it. Y'all not looking at it from the right angle. You know, all that with Kendrick. So, you know, with all that being said, it's a bunch of layers going to, like, the naming of the album and the inspiration, all kind of stuff and all that. Because me personally, and I'm not the only thing that many, many people think this, I believe, or follow this, but every Kendrick work is, like, a different, it's his own entity. Like, does he tie themes together throughout his work? Yes. Most artists of and that's like Kendrick, they kind of tie previous works with future works and everything like that. Like they touched on previous things they discussed on future songs and everything like that. Like, they do, they revisit a lot of things they do throughout the music. Like, they have themes throughout the music that they often revisit until they conclude it. Until they feel like it's done, it's concluded, and they move on from it. So, like, for instance, what's a rap, like J. Cole kind of thing. Like, J. Cole, like, he had he has, like, the basketball themes album, like the sports things. He has, like, the warm up. Then he had Friday Night Lights, and then he had Sideline Story. And then later on down the line, he kind of went to the offseason, which was like his most recent. That was way down the line. The offseason, like, you know, that's like a theme of his work with that. Same way, like, artists have their own little series they do. Like, for instance, Wayne has the Carter. Wayne has the Carter series. That's his thing. Artists like Big Crit. He has the sub series where he has, like, you know, the bass, the battle of the bass song, like, you know, the bass heavy songs. He has a sub series. Then who else has something? Drake has the timestamp, like, you know, 4 p.m. and Calabasas, I think is the name of the song, or like, you know, 3 a.m., six random time slots in different locations, like the time and location songs. He has that guest series going. Kendrick, of course, has the Heart. He has the Heart series. That's his thing. Rick Ross had the Maybach music. You know, every artist has their thing they do. All of them have their thing, and they have things that tie into one another and all that kind of stuff. Well, without the Carter. The Carter doesn't really tie into all the Maybach series. I'm kind of just little things they do. That's like an artist thing that they do. And Cole also has the Lion King, the Simba series. The Simba songs is what I call it, but the last one was Lion King on Ice, so I just kind of say the Lion King thing he has going, because he has, like, grown Simba, young Simba, Lion King on Ice, all that kind of, he has that going for him. And also, he relates sports a lot. He has a lot of sports relation to, like, his music and everything like that, because, you know, Cole for the former basketball player, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. He played college ball, all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, every artist has their own thing, and they usually tie in pieces of work throughout their catalog. Like, it has songs that tie into others and all that kind of stuff that continue on. And Kendrick's discography is interesting because every project post section, well, post Overly Dedicated, can all be viewed as like its own thing, because really, like, Section 80 is kind of like, you know, a campfire. Like, you're sitting at the campfire telling the stories over the campfire, like, you know, you had like one of those meetings, or like you was outside kicking it by the box I'm talking about, like, you know, you was outside kicking it, you know, fire going, you know, you was out there, you just talking. That's kind of how Section 80 was set up, with like the campfire thing. Good Kid, Mad City was a movie. It was a movie. That was because it literally said like a short film by Kendrick Lamar on like the album cover and everything. So Good Kid, Mad City was set up like a movie. And then he came with To Pimp a Butterfly, which was a poem. It was a long poem that stretched throughout the entire album. And then it culminated in Mortal Man, where he did the interview with Pac at the end, which was really dope. You know, he had that going. That was To Pimp a Butterfly. Then Damn was like the news. That was like the news. That was like TV kind of thing. That was like the news. Like, you just flipping through TV. You change the channel. Like, Damn was kind of like changing channels. Like, you just change the channels throughout that album. That's how that was kind of set up. Like, I feel like that was more like a news TV kind of style thing going. That was like for the television. But like in reverse, it said he's not for the television in this album. So it's kind of like, it was like a back thing. Like, you know, I'm not for the television, but he kind of made a play on it. Cause that's when like Fox News was saying all kinds of things. There was a lot of things going on during the Damn era. The Damn era was really cool. That's when like Donald Trump got elected, all that. Yeah, it was a lot going on. So that's how I interpret Damn. I kind of like shuffling through channel. Of course, on title, Mass was just throwaway, so we ain't gonna really discuss that too much. That was a throwaway album. And then of course he did a soundtrack, which was Black Panther. That was a soundtrack for a movie. And then Miss Morale. Mr. Morale is more set up like a play to me. It's like a playwright. Like, it kind of like it was a play setting with it, because how the structure of was very much so like kind of like a play. And even he hinted at it, like when he did the video for We Cry Together, the end of it panned out and it was literally a play going on. Like, that whole song interaction was just a play, like acting out. So it's like, like you listen to the album, it's kind of set up like a play, but every album has their own kind of stylistic with media, and also like their own like concepts. It's all like conceptual. GNX, on the other hand, is a little different. It's not really super like, it's not really like a, it's a concept to it, of course. It's just you gotta look beyond the surface to really see it. It's not really like out there in your face like some of his other works are. Because this one gives more of a vibe like, okay, so I want y'all to picture this. This is what I got from this album. I want y'all to picture this. So imagine you were in the 80s. You're in the 80s or 90s. You know, you're in the early 90s. And you got the old school going. Well, it's not old school yet, but, you know, you got one of the classics going. Like, you got, you know, the 86 Monte Carlo or, you know, one of them things or like a box shell, you know, something like that going on. So you got that going on. You're African-American male or female. You know, y'all done whooped together. And, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon. You know, you vibing, chilling. So you're going to go take a ride. You know, let's go take a drive, you know. So you go do that. You know, you had the car going. You got the cassette tape because, you know, back in the day it was cassette tape. You got the cassette tape. You got, like, your favorite 8 to 12 songs on that thing. You know, you got your oldies. You got, like, your who can I just pick? You got, like, your Luther Vandross, your Isley Brothers. Like, you got the old school jams on there. You know, you got them kind of things going. You got the Anita Bakers, all that going on. So, you know, you riding, pop the tape in, and you just cruising through your city. You just cruising, you just taking a ride, and you just letting the tapes play. You letting them 12 tracks play. You just vibing. You know, like, kind of like you put them songs on that tape. It's your little mixtape. You pop that in the CD in the tape holder. And you go take a drive. You know, take a ride. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of stuff. So imagine that. That's kind of how. And you have that. You have like your rap. Maybe you have like some Nas on there. I know I said 80s, but we're gonna go later on to the 90s. You had like some Nas on there. You have some Pac on there, some Biggie. You know, one of those kind of things. Like, either Pac or Biggie at the time, you kind of had to pick a side. Who knows how people moved back then. So, you know, you had one of them on there. You know, you had that kind of going. You just cruising. That's kind of how GNX feels. GNX feels like it's a mixtape feel to it. Like, it's an album, of course, but it's like a mixtape feel because it's kind of like you could just put it on and just let it ride, and it's like it's, and before you know, it's over with. Like, it has everything you would need, like, everything you needed to, like, fit what, like, a mixtape would be. Like, it's different vibes to it, different feels. Like, your favorite tracks that's put on there that you like, they don't really have one genre exactly. It's just all go. So, that's kind of how GNX feels. It's kind of like a mixtape vibe to GNX. But also, I feel like GNX is also, like, a statement, just because, like, how it's very West Coast heavy, which I love, because I've said for a few years now, like, ever since the Black Panther soundtrack, actually, where Kendrick was rapping over some West Coast beats, and I was like, I would love to hear Kendrick, like, over an entire album, he's just rapping over West Coast style beats, like, it's a West Coast album. Like, I would love that, because he slides on the West Coast beats, he do. Like, he just does. Like, those beats were made for him. Like, he slide on them. So with that, it's like I was waiting for that, and like this album gave me that. So like that's why I like this album so much, because it goes back to like the LA roots that he has. Like, you know, it goes to LA. Like, it's very West Coast centric, you know, G-Funk, all that kind of stuff, all those sounds from the West Coast, the Bay Area, all that is like encompassed in this one album. Like, it's all like a combination of all that. And it's like a return home, I started off at the crib, Section 8 of Good Kid, Mad City, and then I ventured out. Next album, I went to Africa and all that kind of stuff. I went and saw that kind of stuff. Then I kind of just started looking at how the world is and, like, different things I struggle with in the industry, like, things, all that kind of stuff, like, things I experience in the industry. And then it goes to, yeah, I got, like, a lot of shit I have going on that I didn't realize I needed to deal with and fix and everything like that. So I went to therapy, and I worked through, like, my past traumas and things that plagues me, and, like, my addictions and problems that I have that, you know, as a black man, a black community, you know, mental health is not really something that's, it's getting more looked at now, but it wasn't something that was prioritized back then. So to break those generational curses and all that, like, I sought the ways to address, like, my vices and things that I deal with. And, like, stuff that, like, trauma I felt, like, from either, like, you know, lost homies or family members or, you know, just things I experienced throughout life that affected me that I kind of just was thinking as a man because of how often black men, especially when you have an older father, how black men are raised, like you kind of just, you just deal with it and get through it. You don't really have time to really process how you feel or get your emotions out. You don't have time for that. You just kind of supposed to just power through it as a man because, like, oh, you're a man. Like, what you sad for? Like, get over it. Keep it going. Like, you're a man. Like, that's kind of how in the black community, especially, like, you kind of taught, like, you know, as a man, you go work that 9 to 5, possibly more. You work like a slave, you know, you put food on the table, pay the bills, and that's your life. Like, you don't have time to, you know, process things for yourself. So, you know, he went through all that in Mr. Morale and the Big Steps, which is why people hated the album. I'm like, it was a personal album. It was like his personal album. That was like his, that was for him. So, like, give people, like, he wanted to give people, whether male or female, he wanted to give them, like, a way of knowing, like, hey, like, you may have had, like, it might be tough now. You may have had tough times. You might be going through tough times. Your childhood might not have been the best. You might be struggling right now in adulthood, early adulthood. It doesn't matter. But, like, at the end of the day, like, you are, like, life is what you make and life is about perspective. So it's how you view things and what you, how you process and interpret things and everything. So it's like, through that album, he kind of gave, like, he was speaking like, hey, I had all this happen, like, I had a fucked up ass life, like, you know, like this experience, like, experience I've had, like, my life was kind of fucked up a little bit, but through all that trauma and everything that I felt, like, the curses that was, like, plagued my family, like, I feel like I made it out, like, I feel like I was able to break those cycles, or, like, I found ways to heal in a healthy way, you know, and, like, in a peaceful, healthy way, besides like bringing on more violence, more hatred, continuing and contributing to the cycle that currently plagues like a lot of areas in the United States right now. Like, you know, like I'm showing like there's hope for a better future. There's hope that you could be a better person. Like, you don't have to, just because that was you experience you grew up in, that don't mean it has to be you. You can get out of there. Like, it's hope. It's possible. Like, you can do it. You just gotta work hard. You gotta work hard, and you gotta want to do the work, and then you can overcome any obstacle that faces you in life and that thing. At least that's pretty much how I get from Mr. Morale. That's how I got from, like, he was kind of like a beacon of hope from that album. So with GNX is more like okay, these are all the things that I've learned. This is everything I've experienced and everything like that. So now I'm coming home, and I'm coming home, and I'm, you know, spreading like what I've experienced in life and everything that I have gone, everything that I've learned over the years, I'm bringing it back to the hood. So, you know, we can fix things. Like, I don't like all this violence, gang violence, you know, crime, all this kind of stuff, like, you know, poverty, all that. Like, I want to fix these things. Like, I want to fix these things, but I'm going to try to unite the culture instead of, you know, separating. Like, I'm trying to unite the people. So it's like everything I learned, like, I'm coming home and I'm like, okay, coming home to my city, my area, and I'm going to, instead of, like, keeping the, you know, affiliations and separations going, all that, I want to unite all this. Like, I want to bring them together and, like, you know, have peace. Like, work on bringing peace to my city, you know? Like, using my power and influence, with something he touched on, Plymouth Butterfly, using my power and influence to, you know, make things better instead of making things worse. So That's like what I got with GNX. That's why I'm at with GNX at this point. Like, I've let it sit on me for 2 weeks now. I've listened to it constantly. And that's pretty much why I'm at with it right now. It's a couple songs on the album, too, that stand out to me that I enjoy. I ain't gonna lie, I like the whole album from top to bottom. Like, I don't have to skip a song on this album. Like, I don't. Do I do it? Yes, because I don't feel like listening to, like, for instance, Man at the Garden. Love that song. However, I skip it a lot. Just because, like, I don't want to listen to it every day. You know, like, I listen to it from time to time, and I love that song. It's one of my favorite on the album, but it's actually top three, to be honest with you. But, it might have dropped down to top five. Nah, I ain't gonna lie, I had to listen to it for the 2 weeks, about 2 weeks. But, you know, I skip it sometimes, cause, like, just because of the vibe. I like the song, but it's like, it's not a song I listen to like a lot. Same thing with GNX. GNX is another song, and it's mainly because I like Kendrick part and I like Peso part, because Peso is Kendrick, Peso, Hitter, and I forgot the last dude's name. But what is his name? Young Threat. So It's like what they're saying is not bad. I just don't like their voices. I know that sounds crazy. I don't like Hitta and Young Thrift's voices. I know that sounds crazy. I just don't like their voices though. That's really what do the song for me. But I like what they say. I like the verses. I just don't like their voices. Very minor nitpick. Just ignore me. That's just me being weird. So, you know, like I love the song. All the babies love Luther. All the babies love Luther. Luther is the. It's actually the song. It has no cursing or nothing. It's a clean song. It has no cursing or anything in it. But it has the Luther Vandross sample in it. You know, the Cheryl Lynn and Luther, I should say, when they did the cover of what is it? If This World's Mine, I think. I think it's If This World Were Mine. I want to say it's the title of the song. You know, they did. You know, so he sampled that. It's a nice vibe to it. Sorry about that. My heater. I had to turn my heater off. It was a little too steamy in here. Yeah, it's a good vibe song and everything like that. Like it's a nice song. I feel like this song is gonna be on the Super Bowl set list too, cause it just matches it. It just fits the Super Bowl. It's just perfect for Super Bowl performance. It really is. But yeah, the kids love this song though. They love the five 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 part. They love that. They love it. Like it's. I've seen so many videos of like the toddlers and stuff like singing along to it because they just love the song. And I'm like, I love that he did this because like it's good to see kids like enjoying like the songs with the old school vibes to it, like the old school R&B kind of vibes. Like I love it. I love it. I love it. And what you're talking about, the song is beautiful too, because the song is essentially him just talking about, like, you know, his vision of the world, like a perfect world, like if the world was mine kind of thing. Like if the world was mine, I'll have it like this. Like I'll have it like, well, it's no beef. It's no animosity. Like, you know, like it's just peace and tranquility, you know, like all these kind of things. Like it's crazy. And then like he used that like kind of thing to say, like, you know, it's kind of like a song. Kind of like a song for, it's not like a low-key a Whitney song, because he good for making songs for Whitney. It's kind of like a Whitney song, too, because, like, he says all these things, but then it's like, you know, like, he says, and he, like, sings that song, he says all these things, and it's like, okay, but, you know, like, I got all this going on in the world and everything like this, but, you know, I find comfort, like, in my girl kind of thing. It's kind of like the vibe of the song kind of thing, and then, like, if I could change the world, if this world was, like, I owned it, I would do all these things. And it's like, you know, you saying all these things, overstimulating yourself and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, but, you know, throughout all this chaos and turmoil and all this kind of stuff I want to change, stuff I want to fix, like, you know, still got my girl with me. And, you know, she kind of maintains and keeps me grounded kind of thing. Like, that's like the overall theme of the song a little bit. It's a very dope song. It's very cute. Let me just say, it's very cute. And Kendrick and SZA collabs always hot. Like all on flame, like all on fire. Like people love it. All the Stars. All the Stars was a big hit from the Black Panther soundtrack. OG SZA fans know what was it? Babylon was a song he had. That one was dope. What else? Easy Bake was one they did. Doves in the Wind. And then they have Gloria and Luther on this one. So yeah. They have a bunch of collabs together. All the collabs are fine. Like I love SZA and Kendrick collabs. They always nice. So yeah, the kiddos love Luther. The intro is fire too. Whacked Out Mules. It's amazing. It's a very hard hitting intro. Like a very aggressive, like to the point Kendrick, like he said a lot of things in this one. Even like the intro with the Mexican singer, I think it's Deira Barrera, I think how you say her name. I'm sorry if I pronounced it incorrectly. But they have the intro, and then it's Spanish, but it translates from English. It says, I feel your presence here last night, we start to cry. And then after the chorus, he comes back on, and it says, that reflects in your gaze that night, you and me. So it's just like, you know, he had a lot of like different little. Yeah, it's wild. Like, he just had everything, like, just tied together with, like, he had all this going. It's kind of wild. Like, he got a lot of things, like, tied in to this album. Like, because, you know, L.A. and Compton, like, you know, it's a lot of, you know, Latino and Hispanic community, too. So, it's like, I think including that, too, is kind of like a... That's why I said, like, this album really, like, is a homecoming. Because, like, you just threw this on here. Like, you just threw that at the beginning of the song. And it's like, you didn't have to. You just threw it on there because it's kind of like it ties back into like that portion of like your city and your hood. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it ties back to that too. So it's just crazy how, like, that's why I said, like, GNX to me is like a big homecoming. And also another fun fact, I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm wrong, forgive me, but I believe that Kendrick's dad drove him home in a GNX, I believe. I think his dad had a GNX, and his dad drove him home from the hospital when he was born in a GNX. And, like, his dad was playing, like, the oldies and, like, the tape deck. Like, he had a cassette tape with the oldies on it. So that also goes back to, like, I'm returning home to, like, my roots, and I'm doing everything I've learned, everything I've accomplished. I'm bringing it back to the hood to try to make it better. That's why I said, like, I think the whole album is just, like, homecoming. Like, you know, like, it's like a stadium feel. Like, it's my grand stage. I'm back home, and now I'm about to make the changes I need to make and everything like that. That's why I feel like it's really, like, a homecoming album. And then the West Coast influence heavy in it, like it is. It's like, it just all makes sense. In my head, that's my head canon. Like, it just all ties into me. Like, I think that makes the most sense to me about how the album is structured. It just does. So, yeah, Whacked Out Mules is a very dope intro. He mentioned some things. He mentioned a couple names. He had some subs to, like, Cole and everything like that. He did his famous, like, cut off mid-verse, let you fill in the blanks. You know, it's unspeakable. I'm not gonna say it. Like, what I'm saying is nothing that needs to be stated, but fill in the blanks for what you want to fill it in kind of thing. He's been doing that a lot lately. That's his new thing. And also he mentioned about the Super Bowl too, because he was saying how, like, he won the Super Bowl, and Nas was the only one that congratulated him. Then he was saying how he used to bump the Carter 3, and, you know, he think his hard work, the ironic thing about everything that he's accomplishing and the good news he's been getting lately and the good work and the work he's been putting in, and the irony behind it is that he kind of feel like he let Lil Wayne down, because we all know, like, after Wayne didn't get picked for Super Bowl, it was kind of like Wayne went on the thing saying, like, he felt like he was taken from him. He felt like he was robbed of it. All these kind of things. Then all celebrities came out saying, like, they made a horrible mistake picking Kendrick over Wayne, and they need to fix it. And all these kind of things came out. All these people came out to defend, saying, like, Kendrick didn't deserve it over Wayne. And, you know, it was a big mess going on behind the Super Bowl thing, which is crazy because it's never been that deep behind the Super Bowl, y'all. It really hasn't. Like, I've never remember it being this much discourse behind a Super Bowl performance. Like, normally people don't even care because they say it's trash anyway. So I'm like, I've never seen this much discourse behind a Super Bowl performance ever. Like, it's insane what's been going on. All because of narratives people pull out. And then that made people get in their head that it got to happen. And it created this huge battle and discourse and argument amongst peers and all. It's just crazy how that works out, how the world is set up now, the society we have. Like, you could really just put anything out there you want on Twitter. I'm not calling that shit X. Twitter, IG, anything, and it's just people run with it now. It's just crazy. And, like, that's what makes things like the canon event. Like, it gotta happen. And it's just crazy how that works now. But he mentioned that. He also mentioned how Snoop posted that Taylor made freestyle from Drake, and he was saying how, like, he said he must have been high, because he said he let it go. He said he must have been high when he did it, because he said, ain't no way you on his side and not mine. There's no kind of thing, like, you did that. He also mentions, like, you don't have to pick a side. I'm gonna choose it for you. Like, you know, stay over there. Like, you ain't gotta worry about it. Like, I don't like any of y'all. Cause he said, used to be fuck y'all. He said fuck everybody on the song many times. He said, you used to be fuck that nigga as in fuck Drake, but now it's fuck y'all niggas as in, like, all y'all. Like, no, like, I'm done with all y'all. Like, I ain't got nothing to say to nobody. Like, leave me alone. And he was like, he stay in his house. He said, y'all wonder why I stay in my house, because I don't have time for this bullshit. Like, leave me alone. So, like, you know, he does things like that in the song. And then, yeah, that's basically just a song, though. He's just addressing, like, things, like, what he's feeling about things that happened recently, everything. Like, how he feels, like, people's opinions on things. He's like, people got a lot of things to say, but you ain't got nothing to stand on with it. You just got a lot to say. You just yapping. Man at the Garden is also a good track. When it was, I mentioned earlier, it's one of my favorites. Man at the Garden is very similar to One Mic by Nas. It has a lot of similarities to it, by the structure of it, the the sound, the beat itself is like kind of like on a homage to One Mike, and I think it's also he put this on here too because the song is a Kendrick song by the T is a Kendrick song, but he put it on there too. I feel because in Whacked Out Mules he mentioned how Dimes was the only one to congratulate him when he won the Super Bowl. We got the Super Bowl, thinking Nas over congratulating him. I feel like this is like him paying respect to Nas for like, you know, being in his corner. Because the song setup is so reminiscent of One Mic. It's like the first two verses start off with the somber kind of tone your approach takes to it, with the way he raps it, then like the I deserve it all, like that kind of stuff. And then the third verse he gets a little more aggressive with it, and then he ends it off with just I deserve it all. And then that's the end of the song, basically. So, you know, I just feel like that's like his paying respects to Nas with it. Like it's just the way the song set up. It just reminds me of One Mic so much. It really does. Squabble Up was the song that was actually it was a snippet released on this one actually from the Not Like Us video. The beginning of the Not Like Us video, he had a song Reincarnated, I Was Stargazing. Life Goes On, I Need All My Baby, and the Woke Up Looking for the Broccoli, you know, the intro for the Not Like Us video. He included it on there, and when it came on, people was like, oh, wow, he got to drop this. But if you follow Kendrick and you've seen his music videos and he puts the snippets of random songs on there, you know that normally the snippets you hear, you don't ever hear the full song. You just hear that snippet and that's it. We never get the full song. He has like two right now that's flowing out on videos that we never got the full songs for. We're like, bro, where is it at? Like, where's the actual song? Like, I need this. And we just never got it. So it was a very shocker when after Whacked Out Mules went on, because Squabble is the second song. I know I'm hopping around the track list, but Whacked Out Mules went off and then that came on. I was like, whoa, wow. I said, wait, this is the beat. I said, oh, he put the song on there. So, you know, Squabble Up is a dope song too. That's very much West Coast heavy. That's like the party song for it. Like, that's like really like a party song for it. So, it's not much I can really say about Squabble Up. Like, it's a lot of things in this one too, but that'll be like a whole different discussion. I'll be all day talking about that because I want to get to something else. Actually, so go get some. I want to focus in on another song in particular. So I don't want to linger too long on this because I don't want to make this a 2-hour episode. I'm not trying to do all that. It's already gonna be pretty long. So Squabble Up is like the party anthem. It's layers to it though, but I'll have to break down the video and all that in another episode. We'll do that. I'll try to get that out sooner rather than later because I don't want to wait too long to talk about this. I really don't. So moving on from Squabble Up, we have Hey Now. That was the fifth track on there. Hey Now, I like Hey Now. I ain't really got much that I really want to discuss about this song, to be honest. I ain't got much I want to talk about this song. Yeah, I really don't. Ain't much I really want to discuss on this one, to be honest. Shout out to him for the D4L reference with the starting to see spaceships on Rosecrans, because we all know that's from that's Scotty song from D4L. With that starting to see spaceships on Bankhead. Yeah, he did a nice lip flip on that. And also on that line too, because he says starting to see spaceships on Rosecrans. I'm gonna focus on just this part. He was saying starting to see spaceships on Rosecrans. I seen the aliens hold hands. They wanna see me do my dance. I let them watch me do my dance. Kind of thing and all that. Cool how he did that, because he was saying, like, in L.A., there's a lot of gentrification that went on in the hoods in L.A. Like, that's everywhere. Like, a lot of hoods been getting gentrification done to, like, a lot, like, it's been getting touched. So, it's like this song itself, and Hey Now, like, he speaks a lot on it. Like, he speaks a lot on, like, the gentrification on there, like, in between the lines, he mentions, like, the gentrifications and everything like that, like, he talks about a lot in the thing and all that, like, throughout the song. And then, like, you know what I'm saying, like, I seen the aliens hold hands and see spaceships on Rosecrans. Kind of like, he's equating that to, like, the gentrification process. Like, you see these random, you know, Caucasian, usually pop up into the neighborhood. They move on in. Then you see like the random businesses pop up and all that. They kind of take the hood spots out and place them where proper businesses and all that. And you know, it's like, I think that's where you equate the aliens to. I really do. I think you're creating the aliens to like to that. I really do. I think that's how it is. I think that's my head canon for it again. So we're gonna move on from here now. Again, I'm gonna have to do another episode of like go into these other songs a little more. It's just because I want to go into this one in particular. So I'm about to focus in on this one for like a good 5-10 minutes probably, and then I'm gonna have to wrap it up after that because I don't want to make this episode too long. But to me, the standout track on this album is Reincarnated. Reincarnated is, yeah, Reincarnated is like that's the one, because it starts out with another Spanish intro, and this one translates to "That reflects your gaze the night you and I." He finishes that, and then he says, "Yeah, that reflects your gaze then the night you and I." So it says, "I feel your presence here. Last night we start to cry." And then the reflects your gaze, the night you and I. So it's like it's a poem throughout. Like every point is a poem. So he could close it at the end. On Gloria, I think it's the last one to have the Spanish intro. I think it's Gloria. So on Reincarnated, he comes on the song. So first of all, clear homage to Tupac. Clear. It's not even debatable. It's Tupac to the T. Well, to the C, I guess you could say, if you want to do it that way. It's pure Tupac. So he comes on there with the aggression and just like the aggression, the flow, the cadence, the intensity, everything that you would hear in a Tupac song, he embodies it in the verses, in the way he raps the verses and everything like that. Like it's like the embodiment of Pac. So with that, the song is very interesting. There's a lot of layers to it. So he goes, I got a wrong start. Okay, so he goes through different versions of his different lives he lives, because Kendrick says all the time in like songs, like, you know, he believes like the reincarnate, like, you know, he feel like he's lived 1,000 lives and all that kind of stuff. He mentioned that in a couple of songs. So he goes through the different lives that he's experienced, that he's like the reincarnate, like he's been like reincarnated throughout time. So he goes through his different lives he feel like he's lived. So he picks very specific artists that he feel like he's the reincarnation of. So he goes with the first verse. It was, for the longest time, I didn't know who he was talking about. I was trying to figure it out. But thanks to the internet, the one that people believe about in the first verse, he believes is John Lee Hooker. John Lee Hooker is who a lot of folks have come to the conclusion that that's who he was referring to, because he mentions in the song, like, what he says, he was like, body after body, okay, reincarnated on this earth for 100 plus, body after body, lesson after lesson. Let's take it back to Michigan in 1947. So when he says that, the Michigan 1947 line, people feel like he was talking about John Lee Hooker, because I don't want to lie. I want to make sure I get it right. Let me pull this up, y'all. I want to make sure I get it right. I don't want to tell no lie. I don't want to tell a lie about it. Yeah, so basically John Lee Hooker, according to what my research says on here, it says that he was a blues guitarist, and he spent a good period of his time of his career in Detroit during the 40s, like the 1940s. And I think, I want to say he got arrested. I don't want to lie, but I want to say he got arrested. I'm sorry, y'all. I had my research pulled up, but my computer crashed on me like 3 times. So here we are. So yeah, because he had this big hit, "Boogie Chillin'." Yeah, "Boogie Chillin'." It was in 1949. So the 40s is when he was in Detroit. So yeah, it makes sense. So yeah, that's when he went there and all that. So he speaks from that perspective of John Lee Hooker. That's the first version of himself that he manifests. And then the second verse was, he said, another life placed me as a black woman in the Chitlin Circuit, which is, this verse is clearly Billie Holiday. Like, the whole verse is Billie Holiday. It's this whole story to a T. Because the Chitlin Circuit, that was like the, basically the clubs and stuff that, that black people used to do back in the day to get some traction back when it was like, you know, segregation was, of course, a major factor in a lot of things. So that was back then. And the Chitlin Circuit was basically like a network of clubs and theaters that, you know, black artists performed in, all that kind of stuff. And then he says, like a seductive vocalist as a promoter hit the curtains. The voice is angelic, straight from heaven, you know, all these kind of things. He talked about, like, the drugs, the drug abuse and all that, like, you know, like the, yeah, it was like the drug abuse that a lot of famous R&B singers in general, like, succumb to and end up losing their lives to, even more modern times, like Whitney Houston and everything like that, like, they used to, like, usually drugs is, like, the death sentence for them. So he mentioned that and everything like that. And yeah, he talked about all that kind of stuff and everything. Like, he talked about, like, her life and everything, like how she struggled with, like, abuse or, like, alcohol and drugs and all that kind of stuff. And then he ended with, like, I died with syringes, pen stemmy reincarnated. Like, he does that. My bad. Oh Lord, I thought I had in my recording. So, you know, he spends all that. Same thing with the first verse with John Lee Hooker. Because he said, like, he died with money. Gluttony was too attractive, reincarnated. Because he ends every verse reincarnated. He ends the first verse reincarnated and the second verse reincarnated. I want y'all to remember that. So he does those things. He says those things and all that. He has, like, the life stories and all that kind of stuff about how these things, like, how the lives of these two artists went after. Like, he feels like he's a reincarnation and all that kind of stuff. So then he comes back with the third verse. And the third verse, he says, my present life is Kendrick Lamar, a rapper looking at the lyrics to keep you in awe. The only fact that I respected was raising the bar. My instincts and material straight to the charts. My father kicked me out the house. I finally forgive him. He talks about that, too, in a lot of songs. He's talking about the father. Every verse, he mentions the father. Okay? I want y'all to remember this. So in verse one, he says, my father kicked me out the house because I wouldn't listen to him. He says that in that one. And then the second verse, he was like, my daddy looked the other way. He saw sin in me. That's the second reference to the father. And in the third verse, when it's him currently, it's from his perspective, like him currently, my father kicked me out the house. I finally forgive him. I'm old enough to understand the way I was living. Ego and pride have me looking at him with resentment. I close my eyes hoping that I don't come out contentious. So he says that. Then he goes on to say, I'm yelling, Father, did I finally get it right? Everything I did was selfless. I spoke freely when the people needed me. I helped them. I didn't gloat, even told them no when the vultures came. Took control of my fleshly body when the money changed. So that's him. That's all him talking. So he's questioning his father. Remember that. He's questioning his father about, like, you know, like, these are all the lies. Every life I've lived, I've disappointed you. And you know, turned your back. You turned away from me. And, you know, my punishment was getting kicked out. Like, you kicked me out the house, or you found disgust within me, like sin. So you turned that away from me. You kind of, you know, didn't acknowledge me, kind of let me go kind of thing. So that's what he's talking about in all the verses and all that. Then this one, he's currently alive now. This Kendrick Lamar is currently a bomber. He's currently here now on in the flesh, in earth, his fleshly body. So when he talks like this, he said, Father, did I finally get it right? Everything I did was selfless. I spoke freely when the people needed me. I helped them. He said, I didn't gloat, even told them no when the vultures came. Took control of my fleshly body when the money changed. So, you know, in previous works of Kendrick, he talks about how, like, you know, the struggles of fame and, like, not succumbing to, like, what others in the industry have succumbed to, like, fighting them demons and everything like that. You know, how difficult it is to, like, navigate through all that, but he still found a way to remain himself at the end of the day. And he didn't get keyed, and he didn't let the industry change him. He didn't let the industry change him. And he was saying how, like, he was selfless. He helped people out. Like, he gave back to the community, helped people out. He tried to unite instead of divide. Like, you know, all these kind of things he talk about in all these songs and all these music and all that. So then comes out and he said, took control of my flesh body when the money changed. So when he became, you know, Kendrick Lamar we know now with the industry, he didn't let the money change him. He took control of his own destiny, his own life and everything. He didn't let that change who he was, the person, basically. So after that, it switches to the perspective of the father. So it says, son, you do well, but your heart is closed. I could tell residue that linger from your past creates a cell. And then he comes back and says, and Kendrick comes, we come back to Kendrick. He says, father, I'm not perfect. I got urges, but I hold them down. And then the father comes back and says, but your pride has to die. And he responds, okay, father, show me how. And then the father says, tell me everything you did, every deed that you've done, and what you do it for. So Kendrick goes about his accolades, what he's done for the community and things like that. He was saying, I kept 100 institutions paid. And then the father say, okay, keep going. And then he said, I put 100 hoods on the stage, on one stage. And he said, okay, keep going. And he said, I'm trying to push peace in L.A. And then the father cuts him off and said, but you love war. And then he says, no, I don't. And he said, yes, you do. Because a lot of times in Kendrick's songs, he talks about how, like, you know, Kendrick is very, he's a hypocrite. He said this in all his songs. He's a hypocrite. He says it all the time. Lillian, Black of the Berry, he says, I'm the biggest hypocrite of 2015. Like, he said all the time because, like, yes, he does all these things to promote peace. He does all these things to, you know, speak out against violence and promote unity and peace and all that. He does these things. However, he's conflicted because, okay, so like he feels like he says he don't need to, like, violence is not the answer, but if he gets to that point, he'll choose violence and, like, he'll go to war. And he says this in a lot of songs. Like, he says in Ronald Reagan era, he's mentioning in that off of Section 80. He mentioned it in Black of the Berry and everything like that. When he was saying he's a big hypocrite in 2015, he just talked about, like what he said in that. He was talking, he had a Trayvon Martin line. He was like, basically, like, why was he sad when Trayvon Martin passed? But, like, when he gangbanging, you know, he'll kill somebody that's blacker than him. Or, like, he'll kill his own people. So, it's like, that's a hypocritical statement. Like, I'm sad because a white man killed one of my people. Yet, if I kill one of my people, I don't care. Like, it is what it is. Like, I don't feel sadness behind if I kill one of my own people. Which, again, he says it's a hypocrite. It's a hypocritical statement. So, and then in 616 in L.A., one of the diss tracks from the Drake beef timeline, he literally breaks, I love when he breaks out in prayer in the middle of songs, but he literally says, God, my confession is yours, but who am I if I don't go to war? There's opportunity when living, we're lost. So that's him saying also, like, you know, like, I want to be this peaceful person. I do. I really want to be this peaceful person that promotes positivity. However, if these niggas try me, we're going to go there. Like, you go there, I'm going further. Like, I'm taking you to hell with me. He says it's in Whacked Out Mules. If you I'm not calling the truce, like, we all going to hell together. Like, we gonna all burn, because, like, I'm taking you with me. Like, ain't none of that. So, it's very hypocritical. And that's why, and the contradiction, that's why, like, I appreciate Kendrick's music so much, because I feel like Kendrick, as an artist, it's like, for me, personally, it's relatable. Because it's like, I'll get to that after I finish this. I'll talk about it in a minute. But yeah, that's one of the reasons why I relate to Kendrick so much. And then once the father says, you love war, he's like, no, I don't. And he's like, and then the father says, yes, you do. And he was like, well, tell me the truth. And he says, every individual is only a version of you. How can they forgive when there's no forgiveness in your heart? And then Kendrick comes, but come back to Kendrick, and Kendrick says, I can tell you where I'm going. And then the father says, I can tell you who you are. Excuse me. So, it's basically in this point, God is basically is showing Kendrick, like, you know, you're contradicting yourself, like, you sound like a hypocrite, which Kendrick has not acknowledged many times. He's like, you say it, but you still are this person, like, you haven't changed it. Like, you are being a hypocrite because Like he said, every individual is only a version of you. So it goes back to a Bible verse, Luke chapter 6, verse 29. Yeah, and it says, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. So it's basically saying, like, okay, Kendrick, listen, Kendrick. So you want to be this outstanding, you know, first class, like five-star citizen, you know, human on this earth that, you know, promotes peace and positivity and all that. However, when Drake tries you, you didn't let all that go out the window. You went to full demon time and you assassinated his character, really, to be honest. Like, you really did. And, you know, you wanted to damage his career and end it. Like, you chose war. Like, you want to see this change in the world. You want to be this change in the world. However, you're contradicting yourself because you're not enacting it in it. Like, your actions don't match your words. It's basically what you're saying. Like, your actions and words don't match. Like, you're saying this in one breath, and then you're doing this, and you're contradicting yourself, which is human nature. We all do it. And you said, like, you know, you say, like, you're this great person, but, like, you can't forgive because you haven't forgiven. You don't forgive Drake. You don't. You don't forgive. You ain't forget nothing he said and nothing he's done. You don't forgive him. So you didn't spare his feelings. You don't care about what happens to him, like, going for, like, you're over it. Like, you don't care. So then when Kendrick says, I can tell you where I'm going, the father responds, I can tell you who you are. And then the father says, he starts telling him his life. He starts telling him his life. And this is where it gets interesting. He said, you fell out of heaven because you was anxious. Then, like authority, only searched to be heinous. Isaiah 14 was the only thing that was prevalent. My greatest music director was you. It was colors. It was pinks. It was reds. It was blues. It was harmony and motion. I sent you down to earth because you was broken. Rehabilitation, not psychosis. But now we here now. Since you manipulated man with music, embodied you as superstars to see how you moving. You came a long way from garnishing evilest views. And then Kendrick comes back and says, and all I ever wanted from you was love and approval. I learned a lot no more putting these people in fear. The more the world is diminished, the more it's not real. The more light that I can capture, the more I can feel. I'm using words for inspiration as an ideal. So then the father comes back and says, so you can promise that you won't take your gifts for granted? And he says, I promise that I'll use my gifts to bring understanding. So then the father comes back and says, for every man, woman, and child, how much can you vow? And then Kendrick responds saying, I vow my life just to show you, just to live one in harmony now. And then the father responds back, you crushed a lot of people keeping their thoughts in captivity. And then Kendrick comes back and says, I'm ashamed that I ever created that enemy. And then father comes back and says, let's rejoice where we at. And then Kendrick comes back and says, I wrote the devil's story just to take our power back, coronated. So. If you haven't realized by now, this last verse and the things that I think, the father is God. So it's very interesting because I had to sit with this for so long to, like, get everything I wanted to try to understand from this song, because the perspectives, like, okay, so everybody was stuck on, like, oh, it sounds like Pac. I'm like, yes, it sounds like Pac. He raps like, okay, cool, we got it. However, it's more to it than just some sound like Pac. Like, he goes through the lives of two previous musicians, a man and a woman. Also, in a recent interview with SZA, he mentioned how, like, he mentioned to some degree about, like, you know, the, like, not like us, is more so like a representation of the man that he represents, the man that he is, or the type of man he stands for. So he was saying how, like, you know, he had to get in touch more with his, you know, his feminine side, you know, to basically just, like, be the person he is now. He had to get more in touch with his feminine side. So it's cool that he goes from the previous male artist to the female artist, and then to his current self, which is kind of like a merging of the male side, the male carnation, female carnation together. And now this is him. He's both. He's like a mixture of both of them. So I thought that was a cool little nugget he sprinkled in. Like, the interview kind of helped you get that, like, helped me, like, get that little piece of, that piece, like, tie that piece together. I'm like, okay, I see what you did with that. That's cool. That's dope. So then he mentions, like, how, like, his father kicked him out the house. The house is heaven. And we all know that, you know, like, when it comes down to like Lucifer and all that, you know, Lucifer, when, you know, kicked down to heaven, all this kind of thing, you know, how did I just go with Lucifer and everything, you know, the devil. So, and Lucifer, ironically, was also a musician. He was a musician as well. And people often, you know, equate the type of music that Kendrick makes and like the R&B songs and all that, it's like associated with the devil. Like the music is often associated with the devil and everything like that. So it's just cool how he kind of tied all that in. And like the last verses, so basically throughout all the verses, like he's saying he's the devil and he's having a back and forth with God throughout all these different lives and everything like that. And I feel like in his current life, he's learned the lessons that he was sent out to learn, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Like, see, he's learned the lessons. He's going to fix it. He's going to right the wrongs and all that kind of stuff. He does all these things. And then when he says that, he says instead of him using, like, music to, you know, encourage, like, drug abuse and, you know, gluttony and all these different sins and everything like that, instead of that, he going to use the music and everything to promote positivity and all that. So it's like instead of, it's like basically he's saying like he rewrote the story, rewrote the devil's story to take our power back. So basically he's saying like through his past iterations of himself and all the reincarnations of like of him as a person, he was saying like he's taking music back from the devil and making it his own thing. Like music is not of the devil. Like music is his own thing. So he basically essentially is saying like, you know, by rewriting the devil's story, saying like, you know, like, yeah, I'm doing this music thing now, but I'm not going to follow that same path. I'm going to use like my gifts to bring about more peace and understanding, you know, unity and all that. And yeah, I'm not perfect. I'm a hypocrite. I do a lot of things that, you know, go against the grain of what I'm saying, but like, I'm going to use my platform and what I got going on now to not, you know, promote negativity, but bring positivity. So it's like the whole basis of the song. And I'm going to go into more detail about this, like, too. I'm going to end this episode in a second because it's getting really long. Yeah, it's getting really almost an hour 30. So yeah, I'm going to end this episode and I'm going to go more into like this song in particular a little bit more on my next episode. Along with the other half of the album too. I had to break this up. I'm gonna go into the other half of the album. I'm gonna touch more on a couple other songs. Like we only six songs done. We got six more to go. So I'm going like TV Off, Dodger Blue, Peekaboo, Heart Part 6, GNX, and Glory. I'm going those songs on another episode. But you know, Reincarnate is like that's my favorite song for the whole album. I'm just say that now without me finishing the rest of them. This is my favorite song on the album because like the way he went through the lives of different iterations that he views himself as. And, you know, I'll be on here talking all day. I'll be here talking all day about this. Because it's like reincarnation itself, like people feel like reincarnation, like as you come back multiple times, it's because, you know, you haven't fulfilled your purpose or learned your lesson yet. So, like, you come back as another being because you haven't completed your mission or your goal and all that. So, it's like, throughout life, Kendrick says he's like, you know, the reincarnation of all these different icons in the music industry and all that. And like, he's the current iteration of like all of it, like all of it right now. And instead of him like keeping the ties of music to like the devil and all that kind of stuff and, you know, being a sin and all that, he's taking that back and saying like he's learned the lessons he got to do to like right the wrongs. So it's like, this is like the last time that he's going to like basically be here, like, after Kendrick gone, because he says, too, in Whacked Out Mirrors, it ain't no legend. It ain't no legend if my legend in. So, it's like, from him doing, like, the whole song itself, like, him saying, like, you know, basically, like, I've learned the lessons, everything I learned, and now I'm at a point where I'm not coming back this next time. Like, once I'm gone, there's not going to be another reincarnation of Kendrick. Like, this is the last version that you're going to see. And I just think that's dope. At least that's what I got from it. That's part of what I got from it, too. So, it's like, I just love this song because of, like, the things and, like, him channeling, like, saying, like, you know, the whole song, he's the devil. Like, he's of the devil because he's in the music industry. He's an artist. And so, he's of the devil because that was Lucifer thing. Like, Lucifer was a musician, all that. But he's changing the devil's story, and like instead of it being about like bringing about violence and chaos and all these negative things and everything that the devil brings about the world of sin, he's changing all that and making it a positive thing. Like he's making a positive statement with it. So I just think it's just dope. I just think the whole concept of the song and the breakdown, and there's so many more layers to it. Like I said, I'll be here talking for another hour on it. It's so many layers to it. And this isn't even my like written out thoughts on this one. I have that like on my phone, but my phone like across the room right now, like it's on charge. So I don't have my notes to even like fully like break down like the song. But yeah, we're gonna talk about this some more. But I have to end this episode right now, unfortunately. So we're gonna be back. I'm gonna continue talking about this album. We're gonna finish the rest of it. I'm going to come back to Reincarnated. Like, next episode, I'm going to start out with Reincarnated to get, like, a full, concise list of everything about the song. I know that was kind of broken up a little bit, so I apologize. But I'm going to give a full analysis on that song to start the next episode off. And then from there, we can finish the rest of the album, because the rest of the album is pretty short. Well, it ain't that short. It's both. It's short, but it also, it ain't too much I got to break down on the other songs that I wanted to talk about. It's kind of like touch base with a lot of them, and then we good to go from there. So that being said, I appreciate everybody stopping by. Make sure to take care of yourselves and each other. Appreciate all the support, the love, the listens, and I will see you all next time. Peace out.